Yeah, thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. It's a special day, amen? Amen. Well, as you see before me today, we have communion to partake of today. And this is not a ritual that we do. This is not one of those sacerdotal duties that we just do out of religion. This is something we do to actually receive from the Lord and to be thankful for what we have received. So I want to give you a little exhortation as we go into communion, which the Lord is just perfect in the way He lines things up. Y'all know we've been on a series at this church for a couple of months, which I've entitled Being Redeemed from the Curse of the Law. And it's based on Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Help me with it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. How? Having been made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And we've been learning some wonderful truths regarding this particular passage of Scripture. That Jesus Christ, who paid it all, isn't that right, Oliver? Paid the price for us to redeem us from something specific. Amen. Namely, the curse of the law. So we talked about how a wise Christian would then ask a question and say, well, if Jesus paid the price and He paid it all through His blood for me to be bought and purchased and redeemed from something, we need to find out what this specific something is. And this Scripture says it's the curse of the law. Amen. So we've spent week after week after week going back under the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28 verses 15 through 68 and seeing what these damnable curses are. And we found out we've been redeemed from sickness and disease. Specific sicknesses, specific diseases, and also all the ones that weren't even written in the book of the law. Amen. So we're redeemed from all pain, sickness, disease, and infirmity. Amen. We found out we're also redeemed from mental and emotional illnesses. Amen. So even the sicknesses and diseases on the inside of us, Jesus paid the price for. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And then we found out we are redeemed from poverty and lack. Hallelujah. Praise God, we don't have to be broke no more. Broke, busted, and disgusted. Why? Because God wants us to have more than enough so that we can pour out and have an outflow into other people's lives. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. So we are redeemed from all of these things. And last week, we started to conclude this series. I thought it was the conclusion, but it's not. On being redeemed from loss and defeat. Glory to God. We found scriptures that says, thanks be unto God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. Hallelujah. And always means always. So we come to find out that when the devil comes and tells you, you're not going to make it this time, you're not going to come through this, this isn't going to happen to you, all you got to do is turn back to that lying devil and say, always. Always. Why? Because Jesus always gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In fact, you know, people will come to you and tell you, well, the devil's telling me that I'm not going to make it. The devil's telling me he's going to kill me and all this. And I just like to respond to him and say, well, doesn't the Bible say he's the father of all lies? So then the opposite must be the truth then. So you ought to start rejoicing when he tells you you're not going to make it, because the truth is you must be going to make it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, we didn't get to the final verse though in Deuteronomy 28. And I'm telling you, saints, I did not have any clue what this verse said when we started this series. But God in His infinite wisdom knew exactly what it says. So let's look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 68. Because in this verse, we're going to get perfectly teed up to pull out that driver and tee off communion today. Amen. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 68, the conclusion to the curse of the law, the Lord says this, and the Lord will take you back to where? Egypt, in where? Ships. Amen. Now, Egypt is a type of the world that we've been redeemed from. When the Israelites were in bondage and captivity in Egypt under the tyranny of Pharaoh, that was to typify to us our captivity and bondage to Satan and the world. Okay? So when you read this, we're reading this as being, and the Lord will take you back to the world that you were redeemed from. Now, do you remember what we talked about in part one of this series? When we talked about the story of redemption on Easter Sunday? I gave you the picture and the story of redemption of how Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "And He, Christ, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the dear Son of His love." So we broke down some words in that passage of Scripture and found out that Christ has delivered us, or you could say rescued us, from what? The power of darkness, which that's a bad translation. The word power there is the Greek word exousia, which should better be translated authority. So Jesus has rescued us from the authority of what? A certain kingdom, namely the kingdom of darkness. But thank God He didn't just set us free from something. He set us free unto something, and that is being translated into the kingdom of the dear Son of His love. So we got redeemed from a specific kingdom to come into another one. And the word translated there is very significant, because the word translated literally means to change places or be relocated. And we found out that the Greek word that was used there for translated or conveyed in this passage in the New King James literally described being put on a ship. Do you see that in Deuteronomy 28:68? Being put on a ship and being transported to another area and location. So what does this scripture say in Deuteronomy 28:68? That we will never be brought back to Egypt or the world or Satan or sin again by way of the ship that we were redeemed on. Amen. By which, by the way, which I said to you, you shall never see it again. But again, you're not reading this verse as, man, I hope I never go back under bondage to the devil anymore. No, you're reading this through the lens of Galatians 3:13, that evidently I'll never get back on that ship again. Amen. Because I've been redeemed from ever sinking again. Glory to God. Can you say amen to that? Glory to God. So you'll never see it again. See, the Lord gave me, this is actually a very intimate subject to me, because soon after I got born again and saved, I had something which was a mistake I'd actually made from my past try to come back and haunt me. I'd been saved for a couple of months, and then some mistake that I'd made, some of the things Trey BC had done, that's Trey before Christ, had made, then these things tried to come back and say, oh, you've got some penalties and some consequences from some of your poor choices, Trey. And of course, I didn't know enough in the Lord right then to know that I've been redeemed from this. But the Lord, in His mercy, took me over to Exodus when the children of Israel were encamped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was closing in. You remember that? So after we've been saved, the devil's not going to just let you go into your freedom. He's going to come back over you and try to bring you back under his dominion again. But then the Lord said what? The Lord said, hey, you're not going to see this enemy ever again. And he drowned all of Pharaoh's army in the Red Sea that day. Now, I know there is some unbelieving believers out there that will sit there and say, no, that Red Sea occurrence didn't really happen. Because didn't you know, brother, that they passed over on ankle-deep water? You ever heard that before? Oh, yeah. Well, I heard this one kid one time. A little kid sitting in school, and the teacher had said that. And he just blurted out and said, well, praise God. They were like, what are you praising God for? Because the Lord performed even a greater miracle than parting the Red Sea, because he drowned all of Pharaoh's army in ankle-deep water. Woo! Hallelujah! Amen. Now notice this last phrase. And there you shall be offered for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves. Sounds to me like that you're going to go back into this unredeemed state. That's what he was telling them. But we've been redeemed from this. So guess what I'm redeemed from? Ever being unredeemable. Ever again. Glory be to God. And then it says, but no one will by you. The very last words contained in the curse of the law is that no one will ever buy you again. And you know how we've been redeemed from that curse right there? Because we have someone, capital O, who has redeemed us, and we are bought forevermore. Amen. Praise God. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 9. I'm telling you, when this truth starts living in your heart, you'll start acting a little goofy. World won't understand it, but that's okay. We're praying for them. Right. Hebrews chapter 9. We're talking today about eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12. And you see how this just perfectly flows into communion today? Because this is what we're talking about. Our redemption is signified and pictured right up there on that table before you. That's the way, the reason, the cause by which we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. Hebrews 9 and verse, let's start at verse 11. But Christ, don't you love that? But Christ. Amen. Robert read the scripture this morning here in Ephesians chapter 2. I love it. It starts talking about all the bad situation we were in when we were sons of disobedience. We were lost, following after the lust of our flesh. But then it says, but God. But God. Amen. But God, who is rich in mercy through the love with which He loved us. Amen. Made us new creations in Christ. By grace we have been saved. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. Say good things to come. You know there is good things to come to you? Good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place. Help me now. Once for all. Now, there's a couple of ways you can translate that. It can mean that He did it once for everybody. But you could also translate it, He did it one time, He never has to go do it again. Why? Because we've obtained eternal redemption. That's what that verse goes on to say. So listen, the fact that no one will ever buy them again when they would enter into the curse and things like that, we have been completely redeemed from. Jesus Christ has paid a price that's far greater than you could possibly imagine. Amen. A great price, and He has obtained eternal redemption for us. See, the reason why I'm bringing this out this morning is because so many people have no problem realizing and accepting the fact Jesus paid the price for you to be forgiven of your sins before Christ. But what they have a hard time embracing in their heart is that now that I know better, and when I make mistakes post-Christ, is there redemption for me in that? I'm here to tell you the blood paid the price for past, present, and future sins that you commit. There is no sin too great. Well, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. Yeah, and you don't know what the blood's done. Because if you knew what the blood did, you'd know there is no sin, there is no mistake, there is no fault, there is no failure that is greater than the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when we have received that blood, it makes a way into the most holy place once and for all. Amen. So the reason we want to bring this out this morning as we partake of communion, because a good question regarding everything we've been talking about of being redeemed from the curse of the law is, if there's an area of my life that is not lining up with the thing that we're learning we've been redeemed from, how do we enforce it? What do we do to continue resisting the devil so that we can obtain all the blessing that is our rightful inheritance? And that on that table right there is one of the key ways that you can enforce your redemption. As I made the point this morning, communion is not just a ritual. It's not just some religious experience we have, but what we do when we partake of those elements and we hold them up to the Lord, we hold up that which is symbolic of His precious blood and His broken body, we are saying, Lord, I remember what You have done for me through Your sacrifice, and now I am declaring before all of heaven and before all of hell that I am redeemed from the curse of the law, and I'm partaking of this so that I can readily identify with what I have been set free from. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So we're enforcing the redemption, the eternal redemption that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we partake of these elements this morning, I want you to do it with that mentality. I want you to think about any sickness and disease you might have in your body. Poverty and lack. Loss and defeat. All the different things that we've talked about for months in this particular series. And I want you to see those things as the price has been paid for you to live free from them. And when you partake of this juice, you partake of this bread, you're seeing yourself as free. And today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we are being set free from all these things. Can you say amen?
Amen.